A very good morning to you. Welcome to Little Swatara. We are so excited you are here with us in the house of the Lord. We want to wish mothers a happy Mother's Day today and just thank you for what you do and the support that you provide for your families. We want to highlight that this month, the emphasis is on family assistance. So we have a mission of the month each month, and this month is going to be family assistance, which helps those families in need in our church, and it expands into our community as well. So we would encourage you as you consider your giving to consider the mission emphasis of the month, which is family assistance. We do want to highlight tomorrow night. Everyone say Monday, 7:30. Monday 7:30. That is our every member council meeting. So we'd encourage everyone that doesn't have to be members, but anyone is invited to attend our council meeting. That's tomorrow night at 7:30. Also tomorrow at 9 a.m., we want to highlight at the Parsonage, there's a ladies' Bible study. They're going through the book of Ephesians. So tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., we encourage any ladies that are available to come out to the Parsonage. There is babysitting available as well if you're a mother and have children at home. And we encourage you to come on out. And we just want to highlight as well that youth membership classes are starting next Sunday. Many of you have expressed interest in that, but we just again want to highlight on the 15th, that's next Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, 12 o'clock after church services, we'll go to about 2 o'clock. And then the following Sunday, the 22nd, we'll go a little bit longer from 12 to 4. And I'll provide lunch from Feliciano's. How's that sound? So that is next Sunday and the following Sunday for youth membership classes. I'd invite Ashley Landis to come forward. She's going to share an opportunity for us to be able to serve in Haiti. Ashley?
Thank you. Good morning. I just want to let you know that I am excited that I am going back to Haiti February 4th through the 11th, and this time I'd like to bring you with me, not everyone, but whoever feels led to come or whoever feels the call. I would like to bring as many people as I can. We would cut it off at 30, but we'll see what God does. If you have any curiosity or inkling, you can come. We're going to have a meeting on Wednesday, June 1st at 7 p.m. here at the church. So you don't have to commit, you know, right now. Just come with questions. I'll be here to answer any question you might have. Of course, I'll tell you more about price and what we'll be doing. I'd like to see what kind of group we have before deciding exactly what we'll be doing, as far as we'll see what kind of gifts we have and talents. There's a sheet that you can sign up in the narthex, just saying if you're interested or not, just so we can kind of see what we're looking at as far as interest and group size. And then again, Wednesday, June 1st at 7 p.m., I hope to see some friendly faces there so that we can continue to do God's work in Haiti. Thank you.
Thank you, Ashley. An exciting opportunity indeed. We want to also highlight men's fellowship this month is going to be on the 21st, being that the following weekend is Memorial Day weekend. So men's fellowship, 7 a.m. at the Blue Star Restaurant. So we want to note the change in locations at this time. So Blue Star Family Restaurant, and that's on the 21st this month. Are there any other announcements anyone would like to highlight this morning? Hearing no other announcements, we invite you to rise and to greet one another as we prepare for our time of worship.
Thank you. Ready.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of the Savior, the hope of nature. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Take me and to find me of all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. He's mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light on, let the whole world see. Let's sing out for the glory of the risen is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. Stand for the glory of the risen King. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. Save forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave, Jesus conquered the grave.
We invite you at this time to one of the most joyous occasions we have in our service, to be able to share in joys and concerns that we may have in our lives. And we're especially just thankful for the mothers in our lives, but we also recognize that there may be some sitting here today that have lost a mother in recent years or may be dealing with other issues concerning being a mother that we just come alongside you and pray with you this morning. But if there's any joys or concerns to share this morning, there'll be a microphone coming around and we just invite you to raise your hand in the air and we'll get that microphone to you. But let's come before the Lord in prayer as we share joys and concerns. Go ahead. Yes.
It'll be 10 years ago this month that the Bryant family moved to Rarersburg, and we moved here as strangers to this area, and we didn't have family close by. And we found this church and this family, and we're supposed to praise through every storm of our lives. And as you know, we had a storm of seizures this last week and a half with Daniel. And last night, Lauren and I were able to attend the mother-daughter banquet, and we sang the family of God, and I had to bring it with me to just share the verse that meant so much, but it says, "You will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear." And my joy is this church and the family that we have here and the gifts and the texts and most importantly, the prayers that get us through every storm of our lives, and we're so thankful for this congregation. So thank you to everybody.
Amen. We all love you guys very much. God is good.
First, I'd like to say ditto to that. I agree. And secondly, it's a joy to have sunshine. I know we needed the rain, but it's good to see the sun again.
I want to thank Matt for asking for prayer for mothers who have gone on before, because that's really what this day was started for, to commemorate those mothers who have gone on before. And I would like to include in that a member of our family, Karen. She lost her mother yesterday. It's hard to express to her the sorrow that we feel. Last week, Matt had, in his sermon, talked about divine interruptions, and I have been specially tuned to that this week, and the Lord has provided some of those. He also, this morning, at 8 o'clock, provided a divine moment. Those of you who have been following my granddaughter since April 19th, 1999. We had a divine moment this morning. I very seldom go on Facebook at 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning, but for some reason I did. There was a story that Amy put in there, and this may be a lesson for all of us. She wrote that on Saturday, she was walking around in Japan. She got tired and sat down at a bus bench. All of a sudden, an older gentleman sat down beside her and proceeded to tell her his whole life story, from childhood, marriage, on up through. And she put "why" with a whole bunch of question marks behind it, and "what am I supposed to do with this information?" So I told her, this was a divine interruption. You were meant to be there at that time and at that place for that individual. You were a wonderful, patient listener. Next thing I knew, my daughter was in on this conversation. So this to me was one of the most wonderful Mother's Day presents I could receive. And just to let you know how well Amy is doing, Amy will be turning 22 on Friday. As you know, she has been completely healed from her cancer. She will be graduating from Temple University Japan on June 5th. She will be starting her job in Japan on May 30th. But I find it such a wonderful divine moment that the three of us could have a round-robin discussion. And there, just to make you understand how wonderful this was, is Japan is a 13-hour time difference. And the chances of my daughter, myself, and I being on Facebook at the same time, it was not planned. Wow. So I feel it was a divine moment. So there's divine interruptions and there are divine moments.
Amen.
So I thank God.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. That's a wonderful testimony of how God will interrupt our days and provide divine opportunities for us to interact with the life of others and share in this journey. Amen.
I know you all have been praying for Pete, and we really appreciate that. And we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. He left home for the hospital on Valentine's Day and hasn't been home since. But tomorrow, he's getting a new hip. Mm-hmm. So from there on, it should be not too long, I hope.
I'm still on a God high this morning, and I wanted to not ditto, but thank you, Sarah, for those words, because I feel the same way about this church. This has been my family. Mother's Day is really tough for me, losing a son, and there's a lot of people in this church who have lost children, and they're mothers. They're still mothers. So Mother's Day means a lot to me. I still have my Mark and Karen and Jack and Savannah, and I'm so thankful for that. But this morning and last night, I've been praying over and over and over. Thank you, God. We had almost a record attendance last night of 144 people at the banquet. That's high, the highest number in the last 5 years. So I was just so happy about that and so many good compliments. But this church just came together last night. The people that cooked, the people that served, the men were just tremendous in the banquet that they did. And I'm so thankful to be part of this church.
Amen. Thank you. God is on the move. Amen. Any others this morning?
Loretta Hollenbach was talking to me this morning. Her husband Henry is in the hospital. So keep him in your prayers. She thinks he has Lyme's disease. He has been hallucinating and had high temperatures, so just keep him in your prayers.
Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for gathering us here in this place. We know that in these four walls we have peace and comfort. But Father, we know outside these four walls throughout the world there are brothers and sisters that are being persecuted. And we think of our brothers and sisters in Nigeria. And Father, you know the love that encompasses them. You know the peace that they stand for. And despite the persecution, they continue to serve their enemy. But Father, we're praying for your peace worldwide. You know the tragedies that are happening all over. And Father, we're praying into that peace that you offer. And God, we know that you do interrupt our days with divine moments. And you place us in situations where we do ask those questions, why? Why would you put me here with this particular person? But Father, I believe that you believe in us to be able to share your good news. To be able to speak truth in love to others that need that hope so desperately. So, Father, we're praying that as these moments continue to unfold in our lives, that we would rejoice, we would see them as an opportunity to share that love that you've given us. Father, we do know many are dealing with various illnesses. And, Father, we do recognize that you are the master physician. And Father, this morning, we especially want to lift up our young friend Daniel. And we want to lift up his family. But Father, for Daniel, we want to pray your healing touch in Jesus' name. But Father, like his mother said, we're going to praise you in whatever storm that you provide. But Father, if it would be your will, we ask for that healing. And Father, we think of Pete going in for that hip, and we are so excited that that opportunity to perhaps go back home soon is at hand. And we pray that that surgery would go well. We pray even now that you would bring a total peace for Pete, a relaxation for him, a comfort for him, knowing that you go before him and prepare that surgery table. We think of Lloyd and Naomi and the continued health struggles that they have. And Father, we know that there's a miracle that has happened with Lloyd and Naomi. They shouldn't be here with us, but Father, you chose your will to keep them here. You have a purpose for them. And we're praying that you continually, divinely touch them and encourage them and allow us to support each other as we go through these struggles. We are so thankful for when the sun does shine, but we know that the sun, Jesus, is always shining. And so, Father, we think of those in recovery that are dealing with illnesses that they've had surgeries for or going through the healing process. And we just ask, Father, that you would allow that recovery to go smoothly, that you would day by day give them the strength that they need, that you would encourage them as they're not able to do the daily activities that they're so accustomed to. And Father, you know those names on our hearts right now, those that have not been lifted up. And we are asking, Father, for you to provide all that we need in this moment. You know the journeys that we're on. You know the issues that we face. You know the joys that are upon our hearts. And we think of Amy in Japan and the graduation that's forthcoming and the job already in place. And we just praise you, Father, for your movement in her life and in the lives of so many others. We think of Henry, Lord, and the hospital stay that he's enduring right now. And we're praying your healing to be imparted to him as well in Jesus' name. And Father, so many on our list, Lord, we lift by name Robert Snyder and Ruth Wenger, Roberta Bayshore and Jen Emmerich, Jess Hartranf and Carol Shaw, Catherine and Ken Wenger, Gene Lingle and Tom Schwenk. And we think of those that have lost loved ones, that have lost their mothers, even as recently as yesterday, and we just pray your comfort upon them. Father, we know that this life is fragile. We never know when we'll take our final breath, but Father, we pray that we would hold each moment captive, that we would live steadfast in your love. So, Father, now we come to you. We know that we've sinned, we've done things that we wish we wouldn't have, but Father, you have offered us forgiveness through the cross. And so now we come to you and we confess our sins to you and ask of that forgiveness. Hear our prayers. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercies that are new each day. We thank you for your Son that was sent to this world to be able to live through the lives that we lead and know the struggles that we face. There's not one area of our lives that your Son Jesus can't identify with. And we're thanking you, Father, that we have forgiveness, that we can have freedom from those sins if we continually turn to the cross and continually ask you to allow us to live for you and to turn from those sins. But Father, we just pray now that you would hear our hearts' cries as we continue to worship you, continue to praise you. So thank you, God, for meeting us here in this place. To you be all glory and honor and praise. Amen.
You know, we've had some problems in the past year with Daniel's health. And last night, as I sat in my little, as I call it, my hole at home, going over this morning's music, my wife calls these things God winks. You know, the four of us chose these songs before Daniel started having seizures again. And I sat down last night looking at these songs, and I thought, this is too odd. Every single one of these ones we're playing today has something to do with what we're dealing with. And you know, if you pay attention closely to the lyrics, you know, you hear me when I call, and through darkness, and when you can't see the light, and he's there. And we'll learn, and we have to learn, to follow him means to give everything to him. And as you sing this song, listen to these lyrics, and realize that if you give it to him, everything will be just fine.
You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Who shall I fear?
You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield. No troubles linger still. Who shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me, yours is the victory.
As we consider our offering this morning, we sometimes may ask ourselves the question, why give? And the answer is so simple, because God gave. He not only gave generously, he gave his all. He gave his one and only son that we might have eternal life. May we give this morning with cheerful hearts. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the ultimate sacrifice of your son, Jesus Christ. We know that by you giving your only son, we can be free. We know that we can be given eternal life when we choose to believe, when we choose to be set apart from this world. So, Father, as we give, may you give us a cheerful heart. May you allow us to be reminded that it's our act of worship. And so we give, Father, because you gave. And we ask, Father, that you would help us to be a blessing to others. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
And I'm going to talk again. Everyone knows that this is one of my favorite songs. And you sit and you think, you know, you can only imagine what it must be like after we're in heaven, what it must be like to be with him. And I want to tell you that in the last 10 days, I've seen him in every single person here that's been praying for us and all the things that everyone's been doing. So if you can imagine that it's even close to what that's like, it's going to be something pretty awesome.
I can only imagine what I would be like when I walk by side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Oh, in all of you be still. Will I stand in your presence? Until my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. When that day comes, when I find myself standing in the sun, I can only imagine. When all I will do is forever worship you, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Oh, in all you be still. Will I stand in your presence? Until my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Yeah.
Children, come join me up front. There's more coming. I'm waiting for everyone. Hurry. How many of you know what holiday is today?
Mother's Day.
It's Mother's Day, that's right. How many of you got a gift for your mom or gave her a card? You forgot to. It's okay. Did you at least tell your mom that I love you? That you love her? Yeah? Oh, good. That's a good gift then. Do you think she likes when you tell her that she loves you? That you love her? Yes. But do you know what your mom loves even more? When you show you love her through your actions. What are some ways we can do that? Cleaning up your room, making a heart for her. Chloe, do you know any ideas? No?
Picking up their room.
I've never done that, but maybe you could clean up after yourself if you made a mess in their room. What if we are nice to your brothers and sisters and don't fight with them for once? Is that a way to show we love them? Yeah. Do you think our mom would like that if we don't fight with our brothers and sisters for once? Yeah. Yes. I think they would like that a lot. Even the dads would like that. Do you think God likes to hear us say that we love him?
No.
No? No. No. Of course he does. He loves us loves when we tell him we love him. What does God love even more? It's the same thing our moms love.
Hearts,
yes. When we show it through our actions, that's right. Now, how do we do that? How do we show God we love him through our actions? We know how to do it for mom, but how do we do it for God? Do you know? No? Just say it. What? Well, the Bible gives us an idea of how to do it. You want to hear how that Bible tells us to do it?
No.
No? Well, I'm going to tell you anyways. God showed us his love for us by sending his one and only Son so that we might live through him. It goes on to say, since God loves us so much, we ought to love one another. Well, the Bible just told us. How do we show we love him? How do we show it through our actions? We love one another. That's how we do it. Is that, yes, yes, yes? So instead of saying, I love you to God, we show it that we love one another. So LJ, you got to get along with me for one day, okay? So that'll show God that you love him. As we celebrate Mother's Day, can we tell our moms that we love her? Can we also not fight with our brothers and sisters? Can we make that a goal for the day?
Sure.
Our goal for the day is to not fight with our brothers and sisters. You hear all this goal, okay? All parents? So remember, that's your goal for the day? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come to your house today to say I love you. Help us to go out of here today and show you that we love you by our actions. Amen. Guys, go back to your seats. Remember the goal.
Moms are all on a journey, and every path is unique to them. There are a million things for her to do, but none more important than introducing them to the beauty and wonder of God's creation. There's no one else in the world like her, and God made it that way. She's been through years of joy and heartache, and her stories are sacred, precious, and holy. She's poured out her life into her children and grandchildren. There's no one else in the world like her, and God made it that way. most of the time, they remember what you've taught them. But then other times, they need a not-so-gentle reminder that boundaries are a part of love. There's no one else in the world like her, and God made it that way. Giving birth to her own children didn't play out like she thought it would. And while there have been many dark days, this day is providing more light than she knows what to do with. There's no one else in the world like her, and God made it that way. He was her firstborn son, and even though people might feel sorry for her, there's nothing she'd change about her situation or about the gift he is to her. There's no one else in the world like her, and God made it that way. Every mom is unique and beautiful, and our prayer today is that all mothers would allow God's truth to pour over you, that there really is no one else in the world quite like you, and that God himself really made it that way. So be blessed and be honored. Continue to shine the love of Christ into the places where your family needs it the most. Happy Mother's Day.
There is no one else in the world like her, and God made her that way. She's the one person that holds it all together when everyone, and I do mean everyone else's world, is falling apart. She always has the right answers to those unending questions. What happened to Fluffy after she died? How small are the people on the radio? If Jesus didn't have a sister, why do I need one? And that favorite question that pops up at a strange time in the most awkward place. Mom, where do babies come from? Research tells us that 4-year-old girls are the most curious, asking 390 questions a day. Friends, that's an average of one question every minute and 56 seconds. And you know, looking back 11 years, that research is pretty accurate. But can I be honest with you this morning? I have to admit, preaching a Mother's Day sermon can be very difficult for many. Today we honor mothers, but we certainly do not want to exclude anyone else. My desire is that all women, men, children, and teens feel special. Each and every one of you are valued. I can't begin to express how thankful I am you're here. There's a God that loves you more than you can ever imagine. Mothers are certainly unique, and we'll be taking a look at a passage from Proverbs 31 that defines a mother's noble character. But for a moment, I'd like to reflect on a mother's nature. To those who have given birth in recent years, we celebrate with you. To those who have lost a child in years gone by, we grieve with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear that badge of food stains, we so appreciate you. We get the reason you keep a sweater with you at all times. To those who have experienced loss through a miscarriage, failed adoptions, or a child running away, we mourn with you. To those who have walked the difficult path of desiring a child, we travel with you. To those who provide foster care, mentor others, and spiritually guide them, we thank you for what you do. Those with warm, close relationships with their children, we rejoice. And yet to those filled with disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we're here to support you. Even more so to those who have lost their mother in years past or more recently, you are not alone. Perhaps there's been abuse at the hands of your mother. We acknowledge your experience. Those dealing with a mother's illness, we're glad you're here in our midst. We pray God's healing touch upon them. You may sit here this morning and you're single and you've longed to be married and mothering your own children. We pray alongside you that life has not turned out the way you hoped. To step parents, we journey with you on this complex path. And those with that feeling of an empty nest, in the recent or the upcoming years, we grieve and at the same time express our joy with you. And to those that may be anticipating new life, we anticipate with you. This Mother's Day, we journey together. There's no doubt being called mom is not for the faint of heart. And friends, there are mighty warriors in our midst. We commend you for the ways you reflect the image of God by bringing forth new life, nurturing those on your path, and living with the tension of providing both freedom and a safety net. It reminds me of this story about a boy who forgot his lines in a Sunday school play. Luckily for him, his mother was in the front row, ready to prompt him. She would gesture and form the words silently with her lips. But there was this one time that it didn't seem to help. The little boy's memory was completely blank. Finally, she leaned forward and whispered the cue, "I am the light of the world." The young lad beamed with joy and with excitement, and in a loud voice he called out, "My mother is the light of the world!" Let us remember that this day can be one of happiness for many, but let us remember that for others it can bring forth a lot of pain. We gather recognizing the many broken relationships between mothers and children, between mothers and fathers. We come searching for encouragement to carry on, to strive for the ideals God longs for. Yet this ideal woman in Proverbs 31, described some 2,500 years ago, still haunts her sisters today. It's been written that some say the ideal woman is a woman who will obey your every whim, wait on you hand and foot, literally worshiping the ground you walk on. And others will say the ideal woman can do the work of two men. And if women were prime ministers and presidents, wars would end. Unemployment would be eliminated and world hunger would be a thing of the past. The truth is, the ideal lies somewhere between. But Proverbs 31 does an incredible job of describing this ideal wife and mother. Let's read about her in verses 10 to 31. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. I'd like to believe all women should strive to achieve these ideals in Proverbs 31. But friends, for most of us, we live in a realistic world. Now, I'm not saying it's impossible, but to fulfill the complete list constantly throughout life is not a simple task. This is a prayer for every woman and mother. Now, what I'd like us to do is use these scriptures as a springboard to talk about the ideal versus the real world. But first, may we take a few lessons from a giraffe. Have you ever seen, have you ever read, have you ever heard about how a baby giraffe is born and what actually happens in that process? Anyone? Now, first of all, we have to keep in mind a giraffe is a rather tall animal. If you know Brother Gary Bayshore, he's got nothing on this guy. So when the baby giraffe starts its journey down the birth canal, the mother will go to a spot where there are no bushes. There's only flat ground. You see, as that baby giraffe is born into the world, it actually plunges and lands on the earth. Now remember, this isn't some normal fall. We're talking about 8 to 10 feet. And friends, that ground is not soft. So when the baby hits the ground, we can forget the term bouncing baby boy. This new life rolls over after impact and lies there with legs all curled up under it. Now envision this with me. The mother will then position herself over the baby to protect it from predators. And seeing none, she takes her very strong legs and nudges it, or might we say, kicks the baby. The newborn will either tumble head over heels, or it will stand on its feet. Now, we can't fathom what this baby giraffe is thinking right now, but as a human, I tend to see the mother's actions as a bit harsh. Now, I'm not discounting the fact there are times we all deserve a swift kick. But if this baby doesn't stand up, the mother will go back and nudge or kick it again, sending it sprawling across the ground. Friends, this happens over and over and over again until that baby finally stands. And then what? We can't even begin to fathom. The mother proceeds to her newborn and does the same thing over again. Now, by now, you're probably asking yourselves a few questions. Why in the world would she do such a thing after her baby has stood up? And here's why. She knows that the baby needs to learn, and it needs to remember how to stand on its own so that it can save itself when danger lurks. So she kicks it again, not because she's having a bad hair day, but because she wants her baby to remember. I guess in the animal world, we could call it extreme love. But for that newborn giraffe, we have to consider that it would be better to learn that way than to learn when the lion is on the prowl. Over the years, I've heard many people question how a God who supposedly loves us could get us through such terrible times. And it's quite simple. God loves us and loves us enough to teach us. It's so true for so many. We don't learn from reading. We don't learn from listening. We learn by doing. This journey we call life is meant to be experienced. We may have heard it said, experience is the best teacher. Friends, our mothers don't always make sense, but they have a reason for what they've done in our lives. And one day, perhaps it's already past, we'll thank them for it. At times, it may have felt like that giraffe's swift kick. But as we look at the ideals from Proverbs 31, we have to remember what's realistic. The ideal may be that everything is perfect. Nothing goes wrong. Everyone gets what he or she wants. And everything ends with, and they all shall live happily ever after. Who even thinks like this? Realistically, we know that we deal with problems and struggles through life. Broken dreams happen. And some things never seem to be fixed. Like that baby giraffe, we get kicked around, but you know what? We get back up. We keep pressing on with the love of God and the help that he offers. If we never thought prayers make a difference, today I'd ask you to think differently. Prayers are powerful and effective. Keep on praying. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. God hears our cries. We know that it's not our will, but his will that will be done. We say with confidence that life's experiences define us. So as we gather in our pews today and people gather in pews across America, there are realistic moms living in the real world. We may give flowers, we may give cards. There's varying gifts that we give to honor our mothers. But I wonder, what would mothers value most? Of all the times she wasn't able to meet the world's expectations, she'd love forgiveness for the mistakes, the feelings of guilt for not providing what their children thought they needed. And what about grace? She'd love someone to understand that no one is perfect in a real world, to accept that whatever she's done, it's done. She can't go back. She has to go on. And to understand that she's not alone. There's many of us in that boat this morning. And I'd encourage us to just keep rowing. The boat that seems to be sinking will soon reach the shore. Solid ground is available through Christ, our Savior and our Lord. And today, while we're showering her with gifts and cards, let's add a bit of mercy to deal with the broken home, to deal with the wayward child, to deal with the heartaches of mothering. Now keep in mind, I in no way am excusing inappropriate behavior, but I'm saying that there is a God to help. Regardless of our situation, friends, there is a God of reality. Hebrews 2, 17 and 18 read this, "For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." Friends, not only is Jesus our high priest, but he's able to understand our situation as he intercedes, for he too was in the flesh and has felt what we feel. We are not alone. As the song goes, no man is an island. And there's the hope and comfort this morning, whether we're a father, a mother, a man, a woman, a child, a teenager. And it reads it in Hebrews 4:16, and it says this, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Christ completely understands what it's like to live in the real world. Now, one of the things you probably noted earlier is that the woman of Proverbs 31 is quite wealthy. She's healthy, and she's very influential. She's a lady of some position. Obviously, not everyone can be precisely like her. But wrap our minds around this morning. The book of Proverbs is all about wisdom. It's all about wise living. In the book of Proverbs, wisdom is often referred to as a she. In a way, the woman of Proverbs 31 personifies wisdom. She's shown to be the one who has put into practice all the wisdom teachings of this book. There's a mother's nature that describes envious traits like influence, respect, wealth, and joy. But for some of us this morning, all we really desire is peace. For something, for once, to actually go right. But ultimately, my friends, the woman of Proverbs 31, by a mother's nature, provides an example for the way in which a wise person, male or female, will live and carry out their lives. You see, these women don't just happen. They don't fall from the sky. They're not born this way. They work, work, work. And with God's help, they make it possible. It's in Christ, it's through Christ, and it's with Christ that they become these women. Now, it's interesting to me that verse 10 starts off somewhat vague. There's this suggestion that the woman to be described is indeed an elusive creature. This fits rather perfectly with Proverbs 26, which says of men, "Most when men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man?" There's a certain rarity to perfect men and women. As a matter of fact, let's settle it, they simply don't exist. But God's standards are in no way relaxed because of our inability. What's highlighted most of all through these passages is our need of a Savior, one who can transform us into the people that He desires. You see, this woman is described here as a woman of great worth. Come on, guys, what man wouldn't want a wife like this? Let me hear you, ladies, what godly woman wouldn't want to be this Proverbs 31 woman? Men, your Christian wife is a prized treasure who in Christ grows daily in value. At times, men, we fail. We don't treat our wives with the respect, the care, and the dignity they're worthy of. At times, we treat our wives more like we treat a sack of potatoes rather than treating them as the treasured woman they are. Ladies, at times, you're more of a diamond in the rough, but a diamond you still are. One that God Himself is shaping and polishing, that you might become a radiant Christian woman. Let us not allow the enemy to steal our identity. Husbands, we need to learn to trust our wives. Let them do their own thing at times. The picture that we're getting from our text is a woman much like that suitable helper that Adam needed. Men, I want you to take notice to that word, suitable helper. That word helper appears only 4 times in the scripture. And it describes the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it also describes the woman. It's not that she was inferior, but there was a job that God had given Adam to do. So as his helper, she came alongside him to help him do what he could not do on his own. As a helper and Proverbs 31 woman, you are concerned with your husband's well-being and progress. Ultimately, this woman is wise, but to the benefit of her husband and family. There's a motivation to serve and to love her husband and to see him rise up to become the kind of man God intends him to be. Our text clearly shows us that the woman of Proverbs 31 has freed up her husband to do just that. Not to the effect that she didn't succeed, but with the result that both of them succeeded together. Think about that for a moment. Isn't that what marriage is all about? Now, I want you to take a look again at verse 23. It shows how the Proverbs 31 woman enabled her husband to succeed. It reads, "Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land." Now, to our ears this morning, it appears her husband is some sort of slacker who hangs out with the good old boys all day playing cards and checkers. Not at all the case, my friends. To sit in the gates of a city in those days meant that you were a leader in the city. You were a decision maker. You were an influential man. You served as an administrator of justice. There's an old phrase that goes like this: behind every great man stands a great woman. Hello, this is precisely what Proverbs 31 is talking about. More important than anything I'll ever say this morning, we need to look like, we need to be becoming like Christ. Throughout this whole passage, the woman is seemingly tireless in her efforts. She uses her hands, her arms, her mouth, and her eyes in her continual work. But what I want to leave us with is this: the first step of any wise person, whether male or female, young or old, is to consider where they stand with God. The Bible says that when it comes to our standing with God, that in and of ourselves, we stand before Him as sinners facing judgment. But it reads in the book of Romans, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." But the good news, friends, is this: Jesus Christ came and died upon a cross, that there might be a remedy, a cure, a payment made in full for our sins. So friends, hear this. When we come to Jesus in faith and repentance, He takes us as His child. He forgives our sins and we are made right with God. You see, the wise person gets right with God while they still can. The foolish despises the gift of God and one day will suffer for it. So as we leave this morning, know this: in and of ourselves, we cannot put ourselves back together. We can't turn to our spouses, to our friends, to fix our problems. But friends, the closer we grow to God and the deeper our walk with Him, the more complete we'll be. So as we journey together, men, I'm speaking to you. Like the proverb tells us, do we truly appreciate our wives? Have we told them how much they're valued? Children and teens, do we honor our mother as she deserves? Have we told them lately, thank you for all that you do? I'll leave us with this thought from Matthew Henry. He says this: Proverbs 31 is the mirror against which every Christian woman must stand and face herself. And this message is not only for women, but for all here today. Our goal in life ought to be a reflection of Christ, to be image bearers of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for Proverbs 31. We know ideally this is what a woman would look like, but Father, we know that we live in a real world. Father, you know the issues that we face. You know the struggles that we endure. And Father, we're turning to you for wisdom. For we know, God, on our own, we can't accomplish what's set forth before us. But Father, we know through your word, you have given us instruction. You have given us a guide through the Holy Spirit to live out this life reflecting you. So Father, we pray that we would take a serious look this morning of where we stand with you. Father, lead, guide, and direct us into all truth, knowing that it was your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on a cross that we might be made right with you. And it's in your Son's most precious name that we pray these things. Amen and amen.
Please rise and join us in our closing worship this evening.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new dawning. It's time to sing your song again. For heaven made past and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name.
Close with the Lord's Prayer this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Go in peace, loving and serving one another, encouraging and uplifting one another. The grace and mercy of God be with you.